All right, Jobo, say good morning. Let us begin. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. We are picking up, today's daf is Samech Vav, and we are picking up Samech Hamed Beis, but the last line, 65b, Mamish, the last line by the Mishnah. We thank our sponsors for today. We thank Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld for dedicating all the Shurim and Drushos this month in memory of their grandparents, their great-grandparents, Moshe ben Shimon Lev Halevi, Sarah Leah Bas Dov Ber, Menachem Mendel ben Dov Ber, Sarah Yita Bas Yaakov Sender, Noach ben Avram, Fega Bas Meir, David Shimon ben Yisrael, and Sarah Bas Yaakov. We thank our Daf Yomi sponsors, Rabbi Mrs. Schwartzbaum, in memory of Mrs. Schwartzbaum's mother, Fega Bas Shmuel, and Jackie and Betty Gladstein, in memory of Jack's father, Menachem Mendel ben Svi Hirsch Halevi. We thank all of our sponsors for their sponsorship. We hope that all of the neshamas have an aliyah and the families a nechama. And Rabbi said, with that, let us begin. New Mishnah today, incredible Mishnah. Hakitei Yotze V'Kashos. Rabbi said, still on the same general topic of going out on Shabbos. Well, what you can go out with on Shabbos and what can't you go out with on Shabbos. So says the Gemara as follows. Hakiteya. Kiteya, Rabbi says, someone who is missing a leg. Sorry, I can't find my bookmark. Hakiteya. Okay, good. Hakiteya yotze bekav shalom. So the literally Rashi says, Kiteya shenikta raklo, someone who's missing a foot. Someone missing a foot. So he can go out with his kav. So what's the kav? So as we're going to see, a kav was pretty much like a wooden clog into which the stump of the leg fit into. Now, the truth is, as we're going to see, it wasn't really to go ahead and support the person, but rather, again, it was much more of an aesthetic. It was that a person would look like he was wearing two shoes. So the kiteya, the amputee, could go out with his wooden shoe. Div Rabbi Meir, these words are Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, top of Samchva. Rabbi Yossi Oser. Rabbi Yossi says it's Oser. Now we'll say, why does Rabbi Yossi say that it's Oser? Rashi says, the lav tachshetu. So Rabbi Yossi holds that ultimately, again, the foot, the wooden foot, is not considered to be a tachshet. It's not considered to be an adornment. Ultimately, again, or an accessory of the individual. Again, we'll see why that is, and therefore you can't go out with it on Shabbos. Sorry. You can't go out with it on Shabbos. V'im yeshlo base kibble, but if the shoe itself, if the shoe has a base kibble. Now, the base kibble means that it has like a receptacle inside of it, kisisin, and has the ability to contain rags in it. So we'll say, so if you can imagine, again, if there is a larger receptacle in the shoe itself, large enough to be able to hold rags in it, then tame. Then ultimately, again, the shoe will become tame. Look at Rashi. V'meish bo geis kibol kisisin, sheniskank bo kidei kibol kisisin, shal begadim rakin, umuchen lahaniach rosh shoko alehen. So we'll say, so I guess these types of shoes were fashioned differently. Sometimes, again, there was just enough of an opening to be able to receive, like, the stump of the leg. Other time, the base kibble, the receptacle was larger so that you could stuff rags in there to serve as a little bit of a cushion for the leg. So if it has a base kibble, if it has a receptacle in which you could put rags, then it is makabel tuma. So both say, so this is nothing to do with Shabbos, but of course, hilchos tuma, look at Rashi, tame, makabel tuma smago, avalim in base kibble, rosh shoko, ve'ino maniach sham kisizin, lav base kibble tuma, v'harvele kipshute kliyeh. So both say, it's a very simple halach and hilchos tuma. We know that when it comes to wooden utensils are only mekabel tuma if there's a base kibble, if there's a receptacle. If there's no receptacle, then it's what's called pshute kliyeitz, just simple wooden utensils, which are not mekabel tuma. Smuchos shalom. Now look at Rashi again. Smucho shalom. Next case. Smucho shal kiteya yesh kiteya b'shtei raglov mahalech al shoka v'al akvosav v'osa smucho shal ol shoka. So in this case over here, this is an individual who unfortunately, again, does not have the use of either of his legs. So such an individual would normally pull himself, right? He would kneel on his legs and he would pull himself in. He would pull himself by walking, by moving himself. So he would have like leather shin guards over his legs to protect his legs from getting scratched. Those are called smuchos. So the Gemara says, smucho shalo, tamei medrus. So smuchos ultimately, again, could contract tumas medrus. Rabbi say, now again, we're throwing in a lot of halachas over here. This is saying if the individual who was wearing the smuchos was a zav, so he could convey Tumas Medrash. Remember again, Tumas Medrash is the type of Tumah that a Zav conveys to an item that he sits on or rests his weight on. So because the Zav is obviously putting his weight on these, I'll call it these shin guards, but it's not really shin, it's leg guards. Then ultimately, again, they could contract Tumas Medrash. Vios Sebahen B'Shabbos, he can wear them out on Shabbos because they're considered to be an accessory for him. B'Nichnasin Bahen Ba'azara. That was something that's very interesting. And he could walk into the Beis HaMikdash with them. Now, what's the pshat with this? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'Nichnasin Bahen La'azara, Da'af Agav Disnan Lo Yikonis Adon Lahara Ba'is B'Mena Alo, Hani Lav Minal Ninhu, De'Lav Berosh Raglohein. Because even though what's the halacha is, you're not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash with your shoes. With your shoes. Yet, interestingly enough, that's the halacha by the Harabais. Can't enter the Harabais with your shoes. Basically, with your shoes. But yet, interestingly enough, even though these items, kind of these smuchos, kind of serve in the capacity of shoes. And as remember, the individual in question over here, unfortunately, cannot walk. The way he walks is by dragging his legs. The smuchos are there ultimately to protect his legs. So you might have thought that maybe for this individual, these smuchos have the din of shoes. Kamash Malon, no. They're not considered to be shoes, and therefore he can wear them into the Beis HaMikdash. Incredible. Kisei usmuchos shalo. Next case. So I'll say one more Rashi. Kisei. Yesh kiteh sheyavshu v'kaltsu gidei shokav v'afilu ala akavosav inu yachol leilich. V'osin kemin kisei namuch v'yoshev alav u'kishu mahalich nismach al yadav bisav solim kitanin v'oker gufo min ha'aretz v'nitcha lafanav. V'chol, you're supposed to listen to this. This next case is an individual whose legs are so weak that he can't really even propel himself forward with the use of his legs at all. So what does he do? He has a small chair. If you can imagine, it sounds like a small chair and like crutches, which he would use to go ahead and propel himself. So that's kisei usmuchos shalom. So tamei and medras. Ultimately, again, these individuals, Rashi says over here, smuchos, we'll see there's actually machlokas as to how to understand. Rashi says, smuchos, shal osa kiteo, osa le smuchos, shal or o shal eitz le rashi shokav, o raglov, hatuluyin, ukeshe nishan ayodav, oker atzmon nishan raglov kas. So Rashi understands smuchos in this case over here, the second approach, to also be referring to a type of shin guards or leg guards. So in this case, Tamei and Medrash. So once again, they're Tamei Tumas Medrash. Because remember these, if the individual is a Zav, he is supporting his weight on them. Then Yotzin Bahen B'Shabbos. And you can't go out with them on Shabbos, because apparently, again, Halach HaLamaisa, the Rashi quotes two opinions. The first opinion says because they're not so necessary. Or other possibility is, specifically with the smuchos in this individual's case, because he's sitting on a chair and his legs hang down, the concern is that the leg guards may fall off and he may come to go ahead and pick them up and carry them on Shabbos. Ve'nichnasen ben ba'azara, he can't wear these into the Beis HaMikdash, because ultimately they're considered to be a form of shoe. And lastly, lokmitan tahorin ben yotzen b'hen. These loktamin are tahorin. They do not make kabel tuma, because ultimately, again, as we're going to see, they're not a kli, and they don't really function as a tachshit, as an accessory. Ben yotzen b'hen, but you cannot wear them on Shabbos. So good. We'll go through all of these cases in the Gemara. So Amar Lei Rav L'Rav Nachman, Hechi Tnan. So Rav said to Rav Nachman, what is the proper way to read the Mishnah? I'll say, look at the first Rashi in the Gemara. Hechi Tnan, Hakitea Yotzei, V'Rabi Yossi Oser, O Ein Hakitea Yotzei, V'Rabi Yossi Matir. So I'll say, what they were unsure of is how to go ahead and understand the Shita of specifically Rabbi Yossi. Do we read the Mishnah saying that the Kiteya, remember, this is back to case number one, Kiteya is the person missing a foot who fits the stump of his leg into a wooden shoe. So how do we best read the Mishnah? Does the Mishnah say that the Kiteya can go out with his wooden shoe, but Rabbi Yossi says it's Aser? Or does the Mishnah read as the Kiteya cannot go out with his wooden shoe, and Rabbi Yossi says that it's mutter? So what was the shita of Rabbi Yossi? Did Rabbi Yossi say he can go out with his shoe, or he can't go out with his shoe? Amrale, so this is Rav Nachman. Amrale lo yadano. So Rav Nachman says, no, I don't know. I don't know what the correct reading of the Mishnah was. Hilchos Hamai. Furthermore, what's the halacha? Right, Rav said to Rav Nachman. Amrale Rav Nachman says lo yadano. I don't know. I don't know what the correct reading is. Itmar, so the Gemara says, let's analyze. Itmar, Amr Shmuel, Ein Hakiteya, Ina kiteya. So Shmuel says the way to read the Mishnah is that the Mishnah reads ina kiteya. The kiteya cannot go out with his shoe, but Rabbi Yossi says that he can. V'chin amar Rav Huna ina kiteya. So Rav Huna said Rabbi Yossi allowed for the going out with the shoe. Rabbi Yossi amar Rabbi Yossi if hoyo v'amar Shmuel ina kiteya v'amar Rav Huna ina kiteya. Ana nami nisni ina kiteya. So Rav Huna said, okay, since everyone said that halacha lamaisa. That's way to read the Mishnah is the Kiteya cannot go out with his shoe. And Rabbi Yossi says that he can. That's the way we'll read the Mishnah as well. That Rabbi Yossi is the opinion who says that the person missing a foot can go out with his wooden shoe because the wooden shoe is considered to be an accessory. So the Gemara says, Maskifla Rava Bar Shira, Lo Shmia Luhu Had de Masni Le Rav Chanan Barav Lechia Barav, Kameh De Rav Bikituna De Bei Rav. Aye, so Rava said, 1 second. Did you not hear that which Rav Chanan bar Rava said to Chia bar Rav in front of Rav in the small chamber of Ravi's yeshiva? Eina kiteya yotze bekavsho div Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi matir. Right? After all, we heard that the version we had was that the kiteya cannot go out with his wooden shoe. These are the words of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi says that it's mutter. Umachvi le Rav efoch. And Rav motion, switch it around. Right? Rav made that motion, switch it around. In other words, you have the shitos confused. That's in fact not the right way to go ahead and give it over. So the Gemara which will say, Am Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzhak v'simonach, samech, samech. And I will say, ultimately, the easiest way to remember this is, samech, samech. What does this mean? Yossi Oser. Yossi Oser, that's the easiest way to remember it. How do you know who says that? Here's what we know. We know that we have Machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, about the ability of the Kiteya to go out with his wooden shoe. What don't we know? What we don't know is who said what. So there's a very simple way to remember it. Samich, Samich. Right? Yossi Oser. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that the Kiteya cannot go out with his wooden shoe because halacha lemaisa, according to Rabbi Yossi, the wooden shoe is not considered to be a tachshit, it's not considered to be an accessory. Va'af Shmuel Haderbe. And Shmuel also retracted his position and then understood ultimately again that in fact it was Rabbi Yossi who says that it is Oser. Okay, incredible. Disnan. Where do we see that? It was very interesting. Chaltza b'sandal she'eno shalo. What happens if a woman does chalitza, right? Or a man does chalitza with a sandal that's not his. Remember again, I'll say chalitza is the process. We'll call it a man dies without children. So there's a halacha called yibum. Yibum means that the man, the husband's surviving brother, marries the widow. All in an effort to establish a family in the memory, right? In the zuchus of the deceased. If, let's say, man and woman, right, don't want to do yibum, so they do a process called chalitza. The process has many parts, but one of the parts is that she must spit in his shoe, in what we call the yavam shoe, the surviving brother's shoe. So the Mishnah says as follows, chaltza b'sandal she'eino shalo, if ultimately, again, she does chalitza in a sandal that doesn't belong to her brother-in-law, or b'sandal she'eit, or in a sandal made of wood, Oshal small, or the left sandal instead of the right, right? Oshal small, biyamin, or for that matter, he's wearing the left sandal on his right shoe. What's that locha? Chalitza ksheira. The chalitza, Bosei, is kosher. Now, Bosei, now remember again, the only part of this whole thing that matters for us now is what? Is halacha lemaisa, the fact that a wooden shoe counts as a shoe. That's the part that the Gemara is focusing on over here. Varminon mantano, and we said who is the Tana who said this? So the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel Rabbi Meir he. It was Rabbi Meir disnan hakitea yotze bekav shalo diver Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi Oser. So mostly the same Rabbi Meir. It's very interesting. The same Rabbi Meir who says never would you think that there would be this kind of connection between Shabbos and Yibum. Yet look at this dramatic connection. The same Rabbi Meir who says that the kitea could go out with his wooden shoe. Why? Because a wooden shoe is considered to be an accessory. That's the same Rabbi Meir who holds that halacha lemaisa, if a woman ended up doing chalitza with the wooden shoe of her brother-in-law, that chalitza works. Why? Because a wooden shoe is called the shoe. So the Gemara, but again, they're bringing this up also to support the idea that it was Rabbi Yossi Oser, Yossi Oser, Samech Samech. It was Rabbi Yossi who held that the ability that a kiteya cannot go out with a wooden shoe on Shabbos because he holds that it is not a tachshit, it is not an accessory. The Af Rav Huna Hadarbe, even Rav Huna, retracted his position. This Sanya, another interesting case. Sandal shel sayodin tame medras. Rabbi say this is the sandal of someone who works with plaster, a plaster worker. Now look at Rashi. Sandal shel sayodin mochre sid, a plaster salesman. Kishem is asking bo noa lin oso. So apparently people, plaster salesmen, when they would be working with plaster, they would put on a special wooden shoe. Bishal eats hu mipnei shasid sarifes. So apparently plaster burns or somehow destroys leather. So therefore, again, the plaster workers, when they were working with their plaster, would wear wooden shoes. So the Gemara says, that's called the sandal shel sayodin, a sandal that was worn ultimately by the plaster workers. So what's that halacha? Tame medras. So such a shoe is tame tumas medras, which Rabbi Segen means that if the person wearing it is a zov, so he can convey tumas medras to the shoe. The isha choletzes bo, but again, it is a proper shoe that can be used for chalitza. The yotzin bo b'shabbos, and halach alamais, you could wear it out on Shabbos. Why? Because again, it has the din of a tachshit. So the Gemara says, Tivir Rabbi Akiva. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva. V'lo hodulo. But the other rabbis did not agree with him. Fine. Says the Gemara, Amrav Huna, man hodulo. Who agreed with Rabbi Akiva? That ultimately, again, this plasterer shoe is a good shoe. So the Gemara says, man hodulo, Rabbi Meir. It was Rabbi Meir, right? It makes sense. Because remember, Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah holds that what? That a wooden shoe is called the shoe. So what Rabbi Meir would hold, that the plasterer's shoe, which is a wooden shoe, is called the shoe. Uman lo hodulo, and who did not agree with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi holds in the Mishnah, again, a kiteya, the person missing a foot cannot go out with his wooden shoe on Shabbos. To which the Imam Rabbi Yossi said, no, man lo hodulo. Who else didn't agree with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, why? This then, bro, it's an interesting case. Now here, the Hagos Hagrot changes this. From Kaber Shalkash, if you look, if you see on the side of your Gemara, where you have the Agos Agro, it's an Os base, and the Gro changes this to Machatzelas Hakash, a mat made of straw, Ushvoferes Hakash, and a straw made of straw. So Machatzel Shalkash, Ushvoferes Shalkash. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Akiva Metame, Rabbi Akiva says that it's Tame, Rabbi Yochanan Benuri Metair. Rabbi Yochanan Benuri ultimately again says that it's tar. Now, both say, now why is this important for our conversation? If you look at Rashi, it's in the second of the wide lines, the intermediate wide lines of Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan Benuri Metair, Delav Orcha Lasos Mikash Elamikonim. The reason Rabbi Yochanan Benuri says that a mat made of straw is tahar, is not mekabel tuma, is why? Because it's not normal to make a mat out of straw. People would normally make a mat out of reeds. Therefore, again, finish Rashi, minal namilav orche me'etz ela me'ar. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri would therefore say that a shoe is also, what is a shoe made of? A shoe is made of leather. Right, there are these many times in the Gemara, a shoe is made of leather. A shoe was not made of wood. So because a shoe was not made of wood, therefore halacha lemaisa, a shoe made of wood is not mekabel tuma. Amar, sandal shel sayodin tamei medras. Ultimately, again, the plaster's shoe is tamei tumas medras. How could that be? How lovely hilucha avidi. But second, about say, see, there's a bigger problem with the plasterer's shoe, which is what? Which is that halacha lemaisa, it's not made to be used for walking. In other words, we're supposed to remember again, everyone's agreeing that the use of a plasterer's shoe was when the plasterer was working with plaster, because the plaster itself burns through leather. So again, it's not a shoe made for, meaning a typical shoe we would assume is made for walking. This is not even made for walking. It's actually been mekabel tuma. So I'll tell you, Amar Vacha Bar Rav Ula, Shekina Sayid Mitayil Bo Ad Shemagia Lebeso. Ultimately, again, the difference is that Allah Chalamayis, the Sayyid, the plasterer, walks in it until he gets home. So we'll say, interesting enough, what it's saying over here is, even the plasterer did walk in that shoe for a little bit. Namely, he would walk to and from work, or maybe home from work with that shoe. So because it was worn in some capacity, even outside of the actual work, therefore it had the status of a shoe. So we'll say, we'll finish the Gemara, but I'll just point out over here. So what's fascinating is, turns out that now we understand the Machlokis, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, was really as stated in our Mishnah. The Rabbi Meir says, the Kiteya, right, the person missing a foot, can go out with the wooden shoe. Rabbi Yossi says he cannot. Now, the idea over here, just so you understand what's... Well, let's finish the rest of the Gemara, then we'll kind of contextualize it. So the Gemara goes weiter. Remember again, the first machlokes, ultimately again, was about can the kiteya wear the shoe out on Shabbos or not? So Rabbi Meir says yes, Rabbi Yossi says no. After that, the Mishnah transitioned to a discussion about tumah. So the Mishnah said the shoe could become tameh if there's a cavity, if there's a receptacle, a base kibul in which you could stuff rags. So Abaye, tameh tumas meis. So Abaye says ultimately again the shoe could contract tumas meis ve'in tameh medrus, but it cannot contract tumas medrus. Rava Amar af tameh medrus. Rava says, no, it could even contract Tumas Medrus. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Minah Minala, where do I know that from? Disnan, Egla, or Agala, Shal Ketana, Tamea Medrus. Right? The wagon of a child could become Tamei Tumas Medrus. Now, we'll say, now look at Rashi, Agala Shal Katan, Letzachik Ba, Uletaltulu Alel. Right? So what's the wagon of a child? The child plays with the wagon, and you could pull the child on a wagon. So the Gemara says, Abai Amar, here's a big difference between the wagon and ultimately, again, the shoe, Vam Rabaye, Hasam Samech Iluye, Hacha Lo Samech Iluye. So we'll say, and now we begin to understand Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, if you remember, when you go back to the Mishnah, the truth is, it's hard to initially at least understand the position of Rabbi Yossi about why Rabbi Yossi would not allow the Kiteya to go out with the shoe. Meaning, how can you say that it's not a Tachshit? That it's not an accessory. The man is missing his foot. So how is it not an accessory? So what's now begin to understand it? Because Rava says, here's the fundamental distinction. Or really, Abaye explains it. In this case of the Kiteya did not rest his weight on the shoe. In other words, Rava says, it's not like you're thinking like a prosthetic, where a person could go ahead and rest their weight on the prosthetic. This type of shoe was purely worn for, aesthetic purposes, right? Aesthetic purposes, meaning it was just so that he should look, quote-unquote, normal. It was not, meaning it didn't actually lend him any level of support. So because, just going back for a second, that's what Rabbi Yossi holds, that he really can't go out with it on Shabbos, because it's not a tachshit, it's not an accessory. So too over here, this is why we would say that it's not Tamei Tumas Medrus. It's not Tamei Tumas Medrus, because halacha l'maisa, he's not supporting his weight on it. So Amar Abaye mina amina, so Abaye says, from where do I know this? Desanya, makel shel zakenim tar miklum. Ultimately, again, the staff of old people is tar from everything. Now, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Tar miklum, lo medris, velo shartuma, lo metami medris, mishum delav lesmicha avid, sharag lo mahalich, va'af agav de mistamachale leprokim, ushartuma nami lo depshute kleyutsu. So listen to this. So it doesn't contract tumas medris, because as we're going to see, the zakin, the old person, does not use it really to support his weight. And ultimately, again, it doesn't contract any other form of tumah, because it's wood, and it's wood without a receptacle. And any wooden utensil without a receptacle is not mekabel tumah. The Rava says, Hasam, Amadej Rabo, saying, Hasam, Litarutze Sugya Avida. Is a big difference. In the case of the walking staff, the truth is the old person actually does not go ahead and rest his weight. He only uses it to steady himself. Haha, but by the kav, right by the wooden shoe, lismoch ilu Yehuda avida v'samechalei. Ultimately, again, he does go ahead and put his weight on it and use it to steady him. So we'll say, so therefore halacha l'maisa, what you begin to see is as follows. If the wooden shoe has a base kibul, if it has like a receptacle, right, so it has a cavity, then halacha l'maaseh becomes tamei. Now, I should say it could contract tumah. The reason for that is because that's not unique by the shoe, that's a general din, that wooden utensils, if they have a base kibul, if they have a receptacle or a cavity, are kibul to be mekabel tumah. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "V'tmei medras v'nyotz v'mishabes v'nichmasa b'hem la'azara." So we'll say. So this was again the next case in the Mishnah. The next case in the Mishnah of Smuchos. This was the leg guards, right? The leg guards. This is the individual again who really propels himself while kind of sitting on his legs. He propels himself forward, so he has these leather leg guards that protect his legs. So the Mishnah said that they're Tmei and Tumas Medris. You can go out with them on Shabbos, and you can walk in with him to the Beis HaMikdash as well. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, this is the next case. I'm sorry, this is the case now of the Kisei and Smuchos. So the Halach is Tmei Medris. You can't go out with them on Shabbos, and you can't go out with them into the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Tani Tana Kamid Rabbi Yochanan, Nichnasen Ben Baz La Zara. But we learned elsewhere that you can walk in with them to the Beis HaMikdash. Amrlei, Ani Shona Isha Choletes Bo, Va'at Omeres, Va'at Amrit, Nichnasen. How could it be? If I'm telling you that they can be used as a shoe for Chalitza purposes, if they can be used as a shoe, then Rabbi say, what does that mean? If they can be used for Chalitza purposes, that means they have the din of a shoe. And if they have the din of a shoe, you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. So Tani Ein Nichnasen La'azar. Rather change your version and indicate Rabbi say that ultimately, again, with these leg guards, this is for the person who's sitting in the chair. Right, this is for the person who's sitting like in a wheelchair, but he has these leg guards. Even though his legs dangle over the chair, ultimately, again, those guards are there to protect his legs. So Halacha Lamaisa said that has the status of a shoe. Therefore, you can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi said there's this inverse relationship between Chalitza and Beis HaMikdash. If it could be used for Chalitza, you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, which makes sense, because if it could be used for Chalitza, that means it has the status of a shoe. If it has the status of a shoe, you may not wear it into the Beis HaMikdash. Next, Lok Mitin Tahora. So we'll say, sorry, Lok Tamin. Lok Tamin Artar. My Lok Tamin. So we'll say this is very, very random. So what are the Lok Tamin? My Lok Tamin. I'm Rabbi Yabo. Chamra de Achba. This is great. Look at Rashi. Chamra de Achba. Chamor Hanisa Biksafayim Halitzanim. Osinoso. Vinira Kimisha Rochiv Alav. So we'll say this is like the donkey. The donkey that clowns wear on their shoulders that make it look like they're riding on it. So, you know, so in other words, you have like straps on the shoulder. The donkey is under you. It looks like you're riding the donkey, but in fact, again, you're holding the donkey up. Salah Chalamayis, and the Gemara says, you can't wear this out on Shabbos. Okay. The Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yav. So my look, Rava Bar Papa Amar Kishiri. He says it refers to stilts. Look at Rashi. She is very interesting. Kishuri. Shemahalkin ba b'makom tit. Vikashli d'taharin d'motomas. So let's listen to this. So this is interesting. So not stilts like we would think about it in terms of, you know, you think of it as some form of entertainment. Here Rashi understands that stilts sometimes served a very important utilitarian purpose if you had to traverse an area that was muddy. So you can't use stilts on Shabbos. Rava Bar Rav Huna Amar Parmi. So Rava Huna says it's Parmi. What are Parmi? Rashi says, Tul Maso Hanikshares Al Apirsov Lahavis Habanim Kitanim. A mask. A mask. So masks that people would wear to sometimes scare small children. Salach alamaisa, you cannot wear that out on Shabbos. Good. So we'll say again, remember, even though this sounds a bit random in the context of the rest of the Mishnah, since all the other cases of the Mishnah, we're dealing with things that people wear in the event of certain forms of handicap. Nevertheless, again, it's thrown in here because it's still part of the discussion, ultimately, of what you can wear, what you can wear. So I just want to point out, we don't have time to go into it today, but there is just a fascinating discussion because you could see from the first part of the Mishnah, the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, ultimately again regarding the wearing of prosthetics, right, out into the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. Now the truth is, again, the only reason why, remember, Rabbi Yossi is really going ahead and saying that halacha lamaisa, you can't wear out the foot, is because in his model, the foot doesn't really serve the purposes of the person. The foot is a pure aesthetic. It doesn't serve any utilitarian purpose of the person's mobility. Contrast that, of course, with a real prosthetic, which absolutely contributes to the person's level of mobility. And it would appear that even Rabbi Yossi would agree that halacha lamaisa, one would be permitted to go ahead and wear that out on Shabbos. Good, says the Mishnah. Habanim yotzim b'ksharim. So we'll say another very interesting Mishnah here. Habanim yotzim b'ksharim. So children, sons, sons could go out with knots. Again, we'll see what the knots mean in just a moment. Ubenim alochim bezugin. And children of royalty, literally princes, could go out with bells. The Choladim, and the truth is, anyone could go out with knots, and anyone could go out with bells, Ela shedibru chachamim behove. But the rabbis just spoke ultimately again in what was common. So apparently it was common for boys to go out with knots, and it was common for royalty to go out ultimately again with bells. So they want to say, what does this mean? Mike Sharim, what do you mean knots? So Amar Ada Mari Amrav Nachman Bar Baruch Amrav Ashi Bar Avin Amrav Yehuda Kishure Pua. So we'll say Pua was a type of plant. So people would go out with knots of this plant around their neck. So Amrabai, so it says, we're going to see essentially this plant, this pua plant, was used for medicinal purposes. Rashi says, Kishare pua, garnitsa, koshim, bikram, etolim, etzara, le refua, velo yadati le ezecholi. So Rashi just says, this plant, so people would tie knots of this plant around their neck for some type of refua, for medicinal purposes. Rashi says, I don't know exactly what type of choli, what type of illness this healed. But it healed illness. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, Amar li ein, my mother said, Tlasa mukmi, if you tie three knots of this pua plant around your neck, ultimately again, it will keep the illness from intensifying. Chamisha masu, if you tie five knots of this plant around your neck, it'll heal the illness. Shiva, seven knots of this plant around your neck, afilu l'kshafim mali. It's so powerful that even if someone used kishuf, right, even if someone ultimately went ahead and used sorcery against you, it would still go ahead and combat the sorcery. Good. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, says, but this pua plant, is only effective with the following criteria. As long as it was never exposed to sunlight, v'siyara, moonlight, v'lo chazi mitra, never had rain, v'lo shemiya leikol barzala, and ultimately again, never went ahead and heard the sound of clanking of metal, v'kol tarnagolsa, never heard the sound of the chicken crowing, what do you call it, whatever, the chicken making the noise, right, the rooster crowing, v'kol nigri, and never heard footsteps. So as long as your pua plant never had sun, never sunlight, moonlight, never heard metal, never was exposed to rain, never heard the crow of the rooster, never heard footsteps. So ultimately, again, the plant is super effective. Amar Nachar Mar Yitzchak, very nice. Nafal Pusa Bebira. The remedy has fallen into a pit. Which is saying, okay, that's impossible. That's impossible. where are you ever going to find a plant like that? That was never exposed to sun, never exposed to moon, never exposed to rain, never footsteps, never this, never. So essentially, I understand conceptually you're describing a cure over here. You're describing a very powerful plant. But lemaisa, not going to work. So the Gemara says, "My ear yabana, I feel the banos nami." So I don't understand, but why does the Mishnah speak about the power, the medicinal healing of this plant, only legabe boys? Only legabe boys, sons, banim. What about banos? What about girls? So the Gemara says, "My ear yakatana, I feel gidol." Furthermore, again, why does it only frame the power of healing of this item by children and not by adults? To which the Gemara says, "Ella." The Gemara says, "You're right." Sifra Bosa Digma reinterprets it. Mike Sharim, when we speak about again the knots over here, what knots are there? Say, this is so beautiful. Ki had amrav avin barhuna amrachar bar guria. Bosa, listen to how beautiful this is. Ben shiyesh lo ga'aguin al aviv. What it's referring to as follows. If a son has ga'aguin, has yearnings for his father. If you have a son who misses his father, what does the father do? Notel ritsua mi minal shayamin. The father takes his right shulis, v'kosher lo bismolo, and he ties it on the left hand or the left arm of his son. So he says, this is so beautiful. So this is saying that the son has to go off or the father has to go off and the son really misses his father. So what does the father do? He takes his right shulis and he ties it on his son's left arm to show that what? That the son should have a tangible reminder of his father. It's so, in other words, I want to point out, there's like nothing esoteric happening over here. This is just the son having a memento, something chashev. The father takes his chashev shulace, his right shulace, and he ties it on the left hand of his son. He says to his son, I'm with you. Don't worry. You're going to go your way, and I'm going to go my way, but I just want you to know that I'm always with you. It's so beautiful. So Rashi says over here, Gaguin, Rashi says, Mega'agea alav ve'eno yochot liparid mimenu. This is a child, a boy, who is so connected to his father that he doesn't want to part from his father. Look what he writes, Urefua zu lo shaycha b'nekevis. This, quote-unquote, refua, doesn't work by girls. Why? She'in ha'av mechavin kol kach mitchilos and shiu megagin alav. So I'll say, so literally it means, father doesn't love his daughters as much, so they don't miss him as much. So I'll say, what does that mean? So again, remember, the Gemara is describing just the nature of relationships. So again, I was saying, obviously a lot of this is also societal, and it's assuming that the relationship that a father has with his son is a much deeper relationship than a father will have with a daughter. So again, I would say, obviously, is that always true? No, it's not always true. And could it have societal ramifications or societal reflections? Of course, as well. But what it's saying is, the kshira over here, the knot that they're referring to, is a son who has to go away from his father, or the father has to go away from the son. The son has acute anxiety separation, right? Or separation anxiety, sorry. Right? The son has acute separation anxiety, is going to miss his father to the point that, like, he feels sick over it. So what's the refuah? What's the refuah? The father takes his right shoelace and he ties it onto his son's left arm and he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. There's a piece of me that's with you. There's such a simplistic beauty in it. Such a simplistic beauty in it that the father just takes a little piece of himself and attaches it to his son and just says, I just want you to know. I will say, no, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us. Right? Each of us, we're in Shemaim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us down here. And there's a piece of us that misses our father so much. So what does he do? The Ribbono Shel Olam places a little spark of himself inside of us. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He ties a little piece of himself inside of us. They say, you don't have to miss me so much. I promise you, I'm with you. Amram Nachar Bar Yitzchak, Visimanach. And how do you remember what to do? Visimanach Tfilin. Visimanach Tfilin. So I'll say, what do you do with Tfilin? So Tfilin, you take your right hand and you tie it on the left, right? So again, so you take the right, you tie it on the left. So that's how you remember. You take your right shoelace and you tie it onto your son's left arm. The Gemara says, Dichilufa Sakanta. So this is very interesting. If you do the opposite, so in other words, if you were to take the left shoelace and to tie it onto the right arm, that would actually be a sakana for the child. Meaning what? That would intensify the feelings of longing that the Samara for the father will say. So again, it's not esoteric. What does it mean it's sakana? Remember, you see, if the father takes the right shoelace and ties it on the kid's left arm, remember again, for us lefties, it's a right man's world, right? So we'll say, so at the end of the day, when you tie it on his left hand, so that's not his dominant arm. So he doesn't see that all the time. If you were to tie it on his right arm, he would constantly see the shoelace there. So he'd constantly be reminded. That's the sakana. So the idea is the father wants to give his son a reminder. I love you. I'm with you. I'm a presence in your life. But he ties it on the left hand, right? He dafka ties it on the left. Because Lamayis, again, this way, again, it's not the dominant. The kid doesn't always see it. You tie it on the right, the Gemara says, that's quote unquote, that's sakana. Amrav and Amrav Hun, Amrav Chama Bar Gurya. Sechufe, Kasati, Bore B'Shapsa, Shapir Dam. So this is very interesting. So this is a practice over here that they had. If you look at Rashi, Sechufe, Kasa, Kos Sheish Bohev, Okagon Sheurum Imeno Mayim Chamin, Vikofeo Ala Tibor, the Mishachashin. So let's say if a person had acute abdominal pain, stomach pain, so what they would often do is they would fill a cup with hot water, pour out the hot water, and then place the cup over the stomach. Place the cup over the stomach. It was felt that somehow this helped abdominal pain. So you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, the Gemara says. Halacha Maase can do this on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Amar Avin Bar Huna, Amar Avchan Bar Gurya, Mutar Losoch Shemen Umelach B'Shabbos." Not only that, but this is actually very interesting. You can go ahead and rub a mixture of oil and salt on your hands on Shabbos. We're going to see why would you do this? Kiha Drav is really interesting. Kiha Drav Huna Mi Bei Rav. V'rab mi bei Reb Chia, v'Reb Chia mi bei Rebbe. Because Rabbi say this is what Rav Huna would do when he would come from the yeshiva of Rav, and Rav would do when he would come from the yeshiva of Rebbe Chia, and Reb Chia would do when he would come from the yeshiva of Rebbe. What would they do? Ki avo mifsimi. If they would be a little bit intoxicated, maisi mishcha umilcha, they would bring a mixture, ultimately again, of salt and oil. And they would rub it on the palms of their hand and the palms of their feet. And they would say, the same way that ultimately, again, this mixture of oil and salt is spreading, is thinning, so too the effects of the wine should also thin upon so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. So what's happening over here? So this is actually very interesting. Rashi says, "Mevasmi shikor and shayim mashkenes atalmidim ve'elu ve'elu mipnei shechashuvin hayin hayu osilan davar lahafikisin." So this is incredible. So apparently, sometimes in the Beis Medrash, they would give out wine. Why would they give out wine? Because when a person has a glass of wine, their mind is much more open to absorbing information, absorbing ideas. So sometimes over the, by the way, I definitely bring think like Chadei Shemino Kikedem. You know, Mamish, can't imagine bringing back this practice. Right? You hand out a glass of wine in the Beis Medrash, everyone's in a good mood, everyone's happy, they absorb information. What's the problem? The problem is sometimes if you had a long day of learning could also entail with it a couple of glasses of wine. So obviously he didn't want to go home from the Beis Medrash inebriated. So apparently they discovered that rubbing oil and salt, ultimately, again, the palms of the hands and the palms of the feet somehow took away the effects of the wine. So you're allowed to do this on Shabbos as well. This, not, I guess, didn't fall under the umbrella of refuah. And therefore, again, one would be permitted to do this. Now, apparently, when rubbing it, you would also go ahead and say that just like the oil and salt is being thinned out over the palms of my feet and the palms of my, or the soles of my feet, palms of my hand, so too the effects of the wine should be thinned out as well. Vilo, and if you don't have wine, Maisi Shea de Dana, you could bring the earthenware cover of a barrel, Vishadli Bemaya, throw it into water, Vamri, Kihechi de Litzlal Hai Shia, Leitzel Chamra de Planya Bar Panisa. So apparently here we get a bit more esoteric. If you don't have wine and oil, you could take the earthenware cover of a barrel and put it into water and say, just as the water thins out the cover of this barrel, so too the effects of the wine should be thinned out by me. Good. The Amr Abin Barhuna, Amr Avchan Bar Gurya. That's also very interesting. Mutter lechanik b'Shabbos. So we'll say what this literally means is you could strangle yourself on Shabbos, choke yourself on Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? So we'll say, look at Rashi. This is actually fascinating. So do not try this at home. But apparently the Gemara says, if you had, you know, displaced vertebrae, so something in your neck kind of get out of whack, what they would sometimes do is, they would kind of simulate like a little bit of like a choking in order to snap it back. So I guess you would, you know, put something tight around your neck in order to snap back the vertebrae. Like I said, don't try this. But Lamaisa, they did it. And you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Va'amra Avin Barafun Amra Chabra Gurya. Lefufe Yinuka B'Shabbos Shabbos. So this is actually very interesting. If a child was born, and ultimately, again, Halacha Lamaisa, the baby's bones were out of whack. In other words, the baby's bones were disjointed. So they did this concept called lefufe. So Rashi says lefufe means lekarcho bebegadim, the kosho bechabura rachba, or misyashin prake evarav shein rachim and ishmatim bechavli aleda. So sometimes if during birth, the baby's bones somehow came out of whack, what they would do is they would swaddle the baby in a very tight blanket and wrap the blanket in a belt to kind of tighten the baby's body. So Allah Kalamaisa, the Gemara says, this is also permitted to do on Shabbos. So again, the idea with these things is they don't necessarily look like overt refuah. So swaddling the baby is something that you would do anyway. Again, for the baby, anyway, there could be an element of sakana as well. Rav Papa, Masni Banim, Rav Zvid, Masni Ben. So we'll say, Rav Papa ultimately, again, mentioned both of these practices. The earlier practice of tying the knot, right? The father taking his right shoelace and tying it on the left arm of the son, and also the swaddling. Rav Zvid only mentioned one case. Rav Papa Masni Banim, Vitarvayo Mastil Ba'Avin Barhuna. Rav Papa mentioned both cases by the sons, and he attributed both of them to Avin Barhuna. Rav Zvid Masni Ben, Rav Zvid only mentioned one case, Kamaisa Masni Ba'avin Barhuna. He only mentioned the case of the knot, that the father could take his right shoelace and tie it on the left hand of his son, and also attributed to Avin Barhuna. Bahai Masni Ba'avin, in the second case of the swaddling of the baby in a very tight blanket, he mentioned in the name of Rabbi Bar Rachana, Rabbi Bar Rachana, lefufe yinuka b'shapsa b'shaber dami, that you are permitted to go ahead and tightly swaddle a baby on Shabbos in order to put the bones back where they need to be. So the Gemara says, Amr Abaye, Abaye said, Amr li ein, my mother said, kol minyane b'shma di'ima. So we'll say literally again, kol minyane, Rashi says, kol l'chishos, u'mipnei shekofenos, yesh gilpam, anytime you're reciting a recitation, right? So whether it's a tefillah or something else, you always use the name of the person's mother. Meaning whoever you're davening for, use the name of that person's mother. V'chol kitare bismala. And whenever you're tying the knot, ultimately, again, always tie the knot on the left. We'll see what that means in just a moment. V'amra abaye, amr li aim, kol minyane de mefarshe, ki de mefarshe. Anytime something, you have to recite something, if you have to recite it a certain number of times, so you recite it a certain number of times, udalo mefarshi, but ultimately, again, if you have to recite something, and you know it's a recitation, but there's no specific number of times to recite the recitation, arbo'in v'chad zimni, recite it 41 times. Right, so you know what, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick, again, we're going to define some of these concepts that we just mentioned a little bit more tomorrow, so we have some more of these interesting refuah gemaras, a little bit more agarata gemaras, Emirat Hashem, to be continued tomorrow. Yeshikach, I will say.